Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined over the phone by Pastor Patrick Grissom. Pastor Margaret, if you would like to introduce him today.
Absolutely. Yeah, today we are joined by Patrick Grissom. And we can put Pastor Patrick Grissom. He pastors in a church in Missouri. There's a few things. He's a part of the Woodsman TV show and is a part of the Buck Ventures staff. And as we talk, I'm sure we'll get to hear about some of those things. But I just wanted to let you all know, he comes with a few titles today, and he is a father and loves the outdoors and hunting, but more than that, he loves Jesus. And so we are so grateful to have you here with us today, Patrick.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for just inviting me to be a part of your Hunt to Harvest and being intentional enough to have conversations. And not that my story is anything unique or maybe even exciting, but I love the opportunity to talk. I hope you don't have a time frame on where you want to keep this thing because we'll probably stress it.
Well, our conversations have gotten long before, so, but you know what? Grayson will keep us on track. That's what he's here
for. We got to have somebody to do
That's exactly right. So I'm really grateful that you have said yes to speaking at our Hunt to Harvest banquet, and we just wanted to get you in here and get maybe a little bit of a bird's eye view of your life and your passions and what Jesus has done for you. So why don't you start out today telling us a little bit about where you're from, how you grew up?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. My name's Patrick Grissom. I grew up in West Texas. My family is a couple generations of working in the oil fields out there. And just grew up a small town kid. You know, my earliest memory is being under a church chair watching my dad lead worship. Mm. So my whole life has kind of been in and around church. My dad was never officially like on staff or anything. He was still working in the oil field, but led worship still to this day. And I met my wife in high school at that high school, Andrews, Texas, out in West Texas. And we have been chasing the Lord and his call on our life ever since. I was a youth pastor for, I think, 18 years, youth and worship. My wife and I led worship together since we were 17 years old. Wow. And so just the process he's kind of taken us on, you know, we moved out of Texas after college and spent 14 years in Arkansas. And we've been in Southeast Missouri for the past three, where I lead a First General Baptist Church of Bloomfield. And I'm the lead pastor. My wife is the worship pastor. And it's been a blessed journey. That's obviously a lot of years in 2 minutes. But just kind of growing up, we didn't get to hunt big game or anything of that nature, but we were always outside. You know, we're always bird hunting or predator hunting or just roaming through the desert. We'd camp out and do different things. And so, yeah, my entire life has either had a fishing pole in it or some kind of weapon chasing some kind of game. And so it's been my wife calls it a hobby, but it's a passion. It's something that it's like, I don't know how to get away from. I recently kind of stepped back into bird hunting. I'm in South Missouri, so duck hunting is a huge thing. And I have a great lab, and you know, we spent quite a bit of time this year back in chasing birds and kind of rekindled that from my childhood. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I will have to say, I have watched some of your social media reels, and you have an incredible gift at capturing the essence of what you do. And
that's kind.
Man, the music you put to it, just the whole thing. I'm like, I've got to watch this till the end. So wow. I just had to throw that out there. Not only do you enjoy doing it, but you also really desire to share that with others. And that's just been really cool to see the gift that you have there.
Grace, and I don't know if this is the direction you want to go, but like the whole reason, I mean, you kind of gave me some titles, husband, father, pastor, pro staff, you know, I'm part of the Woodsman, and the whole reason I'm a part of it at all is not because I have like this resume of killing big bucks, or, you know, I have like, I have fantastic ground or anything like that to like boast in.
Yeah.
The only thing I really have to boast in is I have a passion for, you know, being outdoors and hunting, but ultimately using that platform to share the gospel. So, Margaret, you saying that, like, I don't know that you could have said a greater compliment to, you know, what I try to do is not necessarily just grab ears or eyes, but to point people back to the Lord. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that's really cool to see that. And one thing that I don't want to miss, and if we get into talking about Buck Ventures and Pro Staff and all that, like, I don't want to miss this event that happened, and I think it was about 3 years ago. You're in a church in Arkansas, and you feel this calling to take another route, to take a next step. Can you tell us about that? Like, it was some great sacrifice. And, man, I think it's just for those listening today that might be going, you know, what is my next step? Like, it's always good to hear the faithfulness of God in just stepping, taking that next step.
So, like I said, my whole life has been in church. I really didn't have a super rebellious spree or anything like that. Got probably too good. I got way more pharisaical than rebellious. So I got to where, you know, there's still a whole bunch of stuff wrong in me, but I put on a really good fit. So that kind of came to a head in high school, that I had worked out to do the thing, but surrendering my heart to him was kind of the, hey, you know how to do church, you know how to be a good kid, you know how to show that, but will you actually give me your whole heart? And so I remember really clearly, I mean, going to youth ministry, we went to a retreat, and it just kind of came to a head of like, okay, God, you can have it all. You, not just my church attendance, not just my salvation or whatever, but my whole life. Like, you've got my decisions. Well, I mean, I was a teenager when that happened. So most important thing to me at that time was my youth pastor was just leading in such a way that I was like, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. Obviously, God was leading that and guiding me the whole time, but youth ministry became an incredibly important thing to me. And then I just had a natural gifting of leading worship. You know, my dad does it. I do it. God gave me a wife who is unbelievably talented. And so that has been a huge part of not just my heart, but also my gifting. So my whole journey was, I'm going to be a youth pastor and a worship pastor till I, like, I, there was no desire to do anything else. Well, in about 2018, God started kind of putting something on my heart that he wanted me to do more. I tried to suppress it, but I was like, no, God, I've got this figured out. I know how to be a youth pastor. I know how to be a worship pastor. You gave me this wife that is insanely gifted. Why would you shift that now? And I fought it for about 2 years. And then I finally came kind of right before COVID. It was probably like November of 19, something of that nature. I couldn't ignore it anymore. And so, you know, I just kind of stepped into that space of the unknown of like, okay, God, if this is what you're asking me to do and you're obviously not going to let it go, then you're going to have to guide this, because honestly, I don't want it, but I want to be in your will. That's right. And I want to be submitted to your purpose, because Patrick's pretty good at screwing stuff up. So God, if it's your thing, then I know you'll make a way. And that took me on a, oh my gosh, a 4-year journey of moving churches, moving purpose, thinking I was going to plant a church, having stuff worked out to plant a church, and then God kind of removing peace from that process and landing me in Southeast Missouri in a town that I didn't know existed, in a church that's kind of built for me. I don't know if that's a weird way to say that, I guess. But my giftings work really well here. My passions work really well here. We've been able to do some profound things in like kind of the structure of the church and rebuilding the church, and went from a pretty broken church when we got here to, you know, consistently running 80 to 90 kids on Wednesday nights. And that's not even my ministry. You know, God's blessing the thing that my heart has been after, and I'm not even having to be the one to do it. So it's been a wild journey. And I know that's kind of a 30,000 foot view of kind of that calling. But to answer specifically, when God started to kind of shift that, it was an internal fight. I was not excited about it. because I've gotten really comfortable in my giftings and how to lead students, how to grow students, how to do worship, all of those things. And when he said, hey, you need to take a heavier load, he said, I fought it for a while.
It just speaks to how if God calls you, don't resist, because he has better plans for us than we can think or imagine. Just stepping out.
Over and over again. Yeah, we see that in scripture. You run from the Lord. He's like, why are you in this cave? Like, this isn't where you're supposed to be. I've got a plan for you, and it's not to be right here. God's plan is ultimate, and he sees what's coming tomorrow, and I don't. So I think part of being a two-year head start, get my head wrapped around it, I think. Not that my timing was right, but he ultimately said, it's now, it's time to go. And not from an audible voice. I mean, it wasn't this like handwriting on the wall or anything overly spiritual. It's just once he set that on my spirit, I couldn't let it go. And it got to a point where it was coming up my heart and mind and soul hourly. Like, hey, it's time. Hey, it's time. And yeah, he's pretty persistent.
Yeah, he is so faithful. The one word that you said as you were talking about that process was that you had gotten comfortable. And I think that is such a hard but important thing to really take a look at, because we aren't called here to be comfortable. And it can be really hard, though, when we find ourselves like we're in the niche. But being willing to say, I'm comfortable here, but I'm willing. I say often, like, Lord, give me the want to want to. You know, it's like,
absolutely,
because, you know, I don't want to.
Yeah, I never had a desire to step into lead pastoring.
Yeah.
That has never been on my radar. I was not using student ministry as a stepping stone. Mm. And so it absolutely that. Lord, I actually don't want to do this.
Right.
I would much rather step fully into worship or step fully into, you know, next gen and do, you know, bring in some college students and do it that way. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not want to be the pastor to adults. And he, like, give me the want to. I love that.
Yeah.
Because I did not want to.
Yeah.
And I had a pastor friend of mine say, well, hey, when your vision shifts from teenagers to the whole body, you know God's calling you. And I was like, dang it. Like, that's already there. And it was like this weird, he just had to redirect where, instead of my hesitancy to go, hey, you already done it. You just, like, your heart's already shifted away from just teenagers into, I was starting to have kind of a passion for marriage. Part of my story I didn't tell is my parents had a divorce when I was 12 years old, and I've had a passion to pour into marriages, and we were doing some marriage counseling, team members and different stuff like that already as a student pastor. Had gone to a lot of training and counseling and different stuff so that I could kind of build that side of me, and not realizing God was preparing me for ministry, not just student ministry.
Yeah. He's sneaky like that, isn't he?
He's so sneaky. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's beautiful, just to hear how he grows us. Like, we don't even realize what he's preparing us for. And that's powerful. And somehow we go from that. I can hear it. You've went from that place of not really wanting to, but thriving. And I hope that encourages someone today to step out of their comfort zone and take that next step, because he has things planned for us we've never thought of or imagined, right? That's what it says in Ephesians 3.
Absolutely. And I think preparation, I think sometimes we feel like we're unqualified or we don't have the right gifting or experience yet. He is really good about filling in those spaces. And if you're willing to be taught and moldable, then he'll do that. He'll bring people along to fill in those gaps or train you in the right way. God's far less concerned with your ability or perfection. He's way more interested in your obedience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So true. So true. Yeah. He doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. I think it's an old saying. Yep. And we see that in Moses, and we could just keep on.
Yeah. And that's
all of them.
Yeah.
Every character.
Absolutely.
And that's how God gets glory through our story, is by taking something that we don't see in ourselves or that we don't think we're equipped or qualified for, and he uses it to get glory so that people see him and not us.
100%. Revelation says we overcome the enemy by two things.
Mm-hmm.
The blood of the Lamb, his work, and our testimony, how his work has encountered and moved our life. Those are the two things. And if we will be open-handed with our story, it points back to Jesus.
That's right. That's what Hope Talks is built on right there.
That's foundational scripture for us.
Awesome.
So how did you get involved with Buck Ventures and Pro Staff? And I think that's where you met these people that we know around here named Chad and Mike Branson.
Yeah. an accident, I think. Obviously, it wasn't an accident. It was, I think, very God ordained. But I was kind of in between jobs. I mean, I was still at the church, but needing a little side income. So I started doing some renovations, bathroom renovations with a buddy of mine. And I happened to do a bathroom renovation for a lady in my church. And her son came down every fall to hunt. And then he had this weird idea that he was going to start doing his hunts. And he was a California police officer. And the other two guys, one was a mechanic and one was a pilot. And I said, do you have any experience with cameras or recording or video editing? He said, zero. And I said, well, I pretty much do that weekly. Do you need somebody else? And he said, absolutely we do. And so I was doing a bathroom renovation when a guy showed up in Camo, California. We got together. We started talking and hunting together for about a year and a half. He saw that watch of Sportsman Channel or Outdoor Network, anything like that, as you know, pastoring students and doing worship full time and doing renovations on the side. So I wasn't watching a lot of TV. Well, he saw Buck Ventures open up their pro staff and he said, hey, I think I'm going to apply. I'll say, good for you. You know, like I have no resume that gives me any confidence that I would be selected at all. He puts in his application, gets accepted. The application says he could bring a plus one cameraman type of thing. He goes, why don't you go with me? I said, sure. So I show up to the very first pro staff meeting for The Woodsman. It actually didn't really have that title yet. It was Buck Ventures Pro Staff with the Hopes doing this whole pro staff thing called The Woodsman. I show up, there's 75 guys there, and I'm fully convinced that there's no way you're bringing on more than like 10 or 12. So we're going to have to like arm wrestle for these positions or something. And there's just jacked dudes in the room and guys who I could tell, man, they've killed some deer. I'm like, I don't stand a chance. So I'm sitting in the room thinking, this is just going to be some information camera school type of thing. Jeff, who's the founder, Jeff Anker, the founder of Ventures, gets up and he says, hey guys, you guys are in this room, not because you've killed the biggest deer or you have the best ground or you're producing good footage. You're in this room because for the best we can tell, you are going to use hunting, killing big bucks, and the outdoors as a vehicle to share the gospel. And I said, I'm in. And that has been 8 years ago, 9 years ago. I, since then, have been blessed to kill some good deer and get it on footage and make national television and some things of that nature that are just spectacular and unearned. Like, I did not earn this platform. It was absolutely gracefully handed to us. But to use it for the glory of God, I just was completely on board with that model. You know people who use, you know, football as a vehicle to share the gospel or sports in general or whatever platform God puts you on to make God famous. And so to get to do that while taking my kids hunting or chasing big bucks with Chad in the Midwest, those things have developed without me really knowing it. I mean, obviously that was the goal of The Woodsman, but I wasn't really seeking that out. It just kind of found me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, God opens doors that we could try to open and push on for years, and he just swings it wide open.
100%.
And like I said at the beginning, like, you do have real talent in taking that footage and making it something powerful. And that's something that I don't have. So I really appreciate it when I see it in somebody else.
Well, goodness. I mean, thank you. That is a huge compliment. That's obviously my goal.
Yep.
And your testimony is a great testimony that whatever talents or abilities, and God gives us all different talents and abilities, that we should use them for the glory of God. So, yeah, that's the biggest piece. And willingness, obedience. You mentioned obedience. That's huge, too, that we're surrendered to God for what he has for us.
Yeah, let's also not get it wrong. I am still a bonehead. I still get it wrong a whole lot. Like, there's a shoot, aim, fire thing that happens with me often. And so yeah, there's still a lot of work God does in me to be like, yes, you still have to be those things and you still have to be submitted. And I think sometimes I've been talking about this a lot on Sunday mornings with my church, is the process of being a disciple is not that I come in, I get myself saved and I'm going to heaven, so I'm good now. I can just put my feet up and coast until I make it. He has given each and every one of us gifts and talents to be used for his kingdom and his glory. And if we are stingy with those, it's really a slap in his face that it's like, you've given me this gift and I want to consume it for myself or use it for profit or for my own edification or something of that nature. When in reality, God gave us those gifts so that we could better his kingdom, so that we could better his body, so that we can draw people to him. Amen. I'm still just flabbergasted at the fact that Jesus came, saved the whole world, and then gave it to us to walk it out and to share it.
Like, wild.
Like, that's a terrible plan, Lord. Have you met people? Like, we are so bad at this. What are you doing? And he gives it to a bunch of knucklehead disciples to take into the world, and we see within a short time, they radically transformed the known world. And they were screw-ups and rejects, and they got it wrong consistently. I identify with Peter. I say things that I'm like, ooh, yeah, shouldn't have done that. And yet he uses Peter and a murderer like Paul to transform the entire world.
Yep.
So, yeah, thank you for the compliments for sure. Yeah. But there's a lot still going on over here.
Well, yeah, we are a work in progress until we are taken home to be with the Lord. And it is. It's the process of sanctification, right? Like,
yeah.
Yes, we surrender. We say yes, but it is a daily yes. And we are knuckleheads. I'm in that crew. But the thing is, when God brings that conviction of that was a knucklehead thing to do, then we have to say, hey, I'm sorry, Lord, and let me make that right and learn from it and not try to trip up. God gives us, he gives us the power, you know, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available for us. And that's living in that. And it doesn't look like just a neat little walk. It is a battle. It's a journey. It's having the grace with other people, right? That Jesus has with us and letting his light shine through the broken places in our life.
I told my men's group a while back last semester that as men, and I think it's way further than just men, I think it's probably all believers, we have a whole lot of grace usually for somebody else's mistakes, right? So like, Grayson, you could confide in me that you're struggling with all kinds of things, right? It could be pride, envy, lust, anger, whatever. And I'm going to have a whole bunch of grace for you to help walk you through that process. But at some point, we've let either the enemy or our own just desire for perfection or whatever, we have no grace for ourselves. And we will disqualify our usefulness for the kingdom so quick. And it's like, if you look at the characters of the Bible, and I love that you brought this up a second ago, there's no one in the Bible besides Jesus that we could hire at our churches. The main characters are hoodlums. They're not passing background checks. And yet God uses them to do unbelievable things because they're willing to step back in and say, yes, Lord. And so, yeah, I want the audience to hear, like, yeah, you have screwed up and you have gotten it wrong and God still wants to use you.
Yeah. We had a couple come to our church a few years ago and the husband knew me from my past life before Jesus. And he said to his wife, I found this out like 2 years later. He said, they let Margaret be a pastor. There's no way we can go to that church. And I'm like, well, yeah. And so he said, this was 2 years later, he tells me that. They did stick around. And he said, but this is what I've learned. If God can change Margaret, he can change anybody.
That's good.
And that's the thing is we feel like that our past mistakes, our past failures disqualify us from ministry, but it is the blood of Christ that we have been covered by that qualifies us, not anything that we've done or haven't done, only by the blood of Christ. And I'm just in awe of how he uses the Motley Crew.
Sure.
Yeah. Pastor Patrick, it's been great to have you today, and we look forward to having you for Hunt to Harvest. And two quick questions in closing, sure. And you can answer whichever one first that you want and the other one second. So we call this program Hope Talks. So what is bringing you hope right now? And then just anything else that you'd like to share that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
Man, what is bringing me hope? We've been through a weird season in our church of some people who you kind of thought were getting it, thought were going to step up, who kind of backed out. And not like went to another church or anything. They're just like, you saw God doing some cool stuff in them, and then they just decided not to continue that path. And so we've seen some pretty discouraging things over the years, like some people falling back into addiction and some marriages that had seemingly been restored ended up breaking. And like some stuff like that, that's just hard when you're doing life with people, you know, it gets messy. And so my heart kind of hurts for those situations. The thing that's bringing me hope is, one, the next generation seems to be able to love and follow the Lord easier. I know that's the wrong word. Quicker is still not the right word. I don't know what the right word is, but they're in love with Jesus. And you see that in these teenagers and young adults in a way that I don't think I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And like, they're willing to just draw this really firm line on the ground and be like, hey, my life is pointed towards Jesus and I'm not crossing this line. So there has been this real surge of the next generation. But then I've also seen a lot of fringe Christians, if that makes sense, like nominal in name only. Yeah. Like they have been saved their whole life, but they've never opened their Bible. Like there's been a whole surge of those people in my church that all of a sudden went, this isn't enough. Like this isn't the path. This isn't the calling of a disciple. It's not just I get saved and then I'll see you in 30 years when I die in heaven, but that God is actually calling me and actually giving me a purpose. And I do want to read his word and I do want to know more about him. And so that while on one hand, I'm discouraged by some stuff, there has been this surge of people young and then also like, you know, middle adult 30s and 40s, they've got their own families who are going, yeah, I actually do want to give my whole life to this cause. And it has been encouraging to see that. And then the other thing, is there anything else I want to say? I think I haven't been able to let go of that discipleship call for now. I mean, I'm going on about a year and a half, but it's just, I feel it's so, so important. And then that's really what I'm going to bring to Hunt to Harvest is what you sow, you reap. Mm. And I've been around a lot of guys who are really good at killing big deer, but have a trail of relational carnage behind them. They got famous. They accomplished the thing and it was hollow. Like I'm sitting in my church office and I've got big books hanging off the wall. What was really strange is how quickly that elation wore off. I came home, celebrated with my wife and kids, and they were over it quicker than I was. And it was like, I did the thing. I chased him all year and I finally got him. And I was so excited. I may even get to share this story on national television because of this process. And it's completely hollow. But if I chase that thing, I mean, it's the same thing as like, you know, you chase your way up to the C-suite. Now all of a sudden you're the boss. It's still just a job.
That's right.
And if you don't take that environment, it doesn't matter what you accomplish. Your bank account could be really fat. Your house could get bigger. You could drive that car you've wanted your whole life. How long is that going to sustain you?
Yeah. Great.
And it won't sustain you.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like so many of my most awesome stories, if they don't include Jesus, are just an awesome story. Nobody cares about it. Maybe I can get you to laugh, but it has no lasting impact.
That's right. Right.
And it's only the kingdom of God. It is only his church that will withstand time. And so if you're investing your life in anything else, it will fade and it will be hollow.
Yeah.
And so, that's what I'm hoping to bring to old Harrisonburg.
We look forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that Pastor Patrick Grissom's testimony truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.